This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
A new draft policy from the Washington Attorney General's office, Bob Ferguson's office, would require any employee to be fully vaccinated, submit proof of full vaccination, or be fired right then and there. I got a copy of this draft policy, one that would even apply if the office maintains a telework option. This according to the memo that accompanied the draft. And what was so disingenuous and kind of despicable is that in this memo, it effectively blames the vaccine mandate on disabled people and or religious people for either being unable or unwilling to get the vaccine. Because they say it's framed in this way. Oh, we're doing it to protect the people who can't or won't get the vaccine due to a disability, an illness, or a religious belief. Now, people who fall into those categories, disability or an illness that would prevent them from actually getting the vaccine, or someone who holds a deeply held religious position, they could seek an accommodation, but the accommodation is not guaranteed. This policy also applies to volunteers and office visitors. You will not be allowed past the lobby unless you show proof of vaccination. Can I wear a mask if I don't want to get the vaccine? No, not according to this draft. Now, to be clear, the policy is a draft. It hasn't been officially released. It hasn't been officially approved. It could go through some rather substantial edits or more likely none at all. But it's certainly possible that if enough people speak up and say this is wrong, this goes against the promises that we were expecting to be kept from the governor, who said he didn't support any of these kinds of vaccine mandates, nor did he claim to support vaccine passports. Now, we always knew that that was a lie. But now is the time to call them out on this, because if you think this is only going to apply to the Attorney General's office, if you're listening to me right now, either live or on the podcast, if you think this is going to stay in the Attorney General's office and you work in any of the other agencies, understand it's almost certainly, I believe, going to spread. And that's why so many people are concerned. I didn't come across this draft policy by accident. Multiple people sent it to me who work in the Attorney General's office, who work in the governor's office, or any of the agencies and departments that roll up to him. Now, this came out on Wednesday. It was sent, this policy, by Chief Deputy Shane Escobel. And it was sent ahead of this return to the office by the staff on September 13th. And it was emailed for approval, for input. Read this, get back to us. The draft allows employees, volunteers, or visitors to request an accommodation or a modification to these rules of mandating a vaccine, but it's not guaranteed. And it says failure to meet this fitness for duty qualification will lead to termination of employment. You have until September 13th, if you work for the Attorney General's office, if this goes into full effect, to get vaccinated. New hires have to be vaccinated before their start date. If you have a sincere religious belief that would preclude a vaccination, you have to, quote, must participate in the interactive accommodation process and provide all information reasonably needed to evaluate the request. So, in other words, you better prove you have a deeply held religious belief. All you folks who think you're going to get away with just claiming to have a religious belief that would preclude you from this, we're going to ask you for proof. Same thing goes for the disability or the illness that someone might have that would make it not possible for them to get the vaccine. Now, in that case, if the accommodation is granted, the employee still has to wear a mask, even though everybody around them would be vaccinated. It also means you have to show proof via, in this case, a video conference call with your division chief. Human resources would be required to maintain a system to track vaccination status. Now, in fairness, that is in line with the requirements that's being imposed, that are being imposed on other businesses here in Washington. Ferguson's office didn't respond to most of the questions I asked about this draft policy. That is normal. A spokesperson didn't explain whether or not Bob Ferguson actually supports this policy as written. When I asked if there's concern that the office could lose staff members if they were to impose this mandate, no answer was provided there either. I asked, how does the fact that the FDA hasn't fully approved the vaccines fully play into this draft? Spokesperson would not answer. They did, however, notify that or confirm that Inslee's office was notified. So the governor knew about this and knows about it, and that they connected with union partners because there are union workers there. And I asked, hey, is this going to be collectively bargained? Is this part of a collective bargaining agreement? No answer. None. Then I reached out to Inslee, his office. And they responded by dismissing me and aggressively defending themselves. It's just a weird set of emails that I exchanged with the spokesperson, Mike Folk. I asked if Inslee supported the policy in the draft form. I asked if he believes this same mandate should apply to other offices, including his own. And they refused to answer. Instead, they said, did you read the policy? I did. In fact, I sent them the policy so they knew what I was going off of. They claimed that my interpretation of the policy was wrong. It was not. And then called all of my questions irrelevant because they argue effectively that the accommodations or the modifications that are outlined in this particular policy doesn't conflict with the previous statements that Inslee has made. Mike wrote, this does not change or conflict with anything the governor has said previously, except it absolutely has. For example, the governor previously said that he was not considering vaccine mandates. Well, obviously, he's abandoned that position. The governor claimed that he didn't support vaccine passports. Well, he also abandoned that position. Washington State public universities mandate vaccinations for students, for staff, in order to return into the classroom. Inslee himself encouraged businesses to deny service to people based on their vaccine status. And obviously we have an attorney general policy here in a draft form that if implemented would conflict with the position that Inslee has. He won't condemn it. He won't say either way. Now, staff members within the office can provide feedback on this policy before it becomes the rule, before it's finalized and implemented. But to be clear, the writing seems to be on the wall that it will be official. Maybe they make a couple tweaks here or there, unless enough people speak up. Now, the truth here is, this is only going to apply, the pressure that can be done can only be applied by staff members for a government agency. But I need everybody's help to shine a spotlight on this, because I don't know how many workers in Olympia are tuned into the show or subscribe to the podcast. Granted, we get billions of listeners every single second that I speak.
Jay Inslee himself.
Jay Inslee is definitely a subscriber, mostly because at a press conference, I stole his phone and I put my podcast on subscribe because he doesn't know how to turn that off.
No.
He barely knows how to turn on his phone.
He yells for Trudy to try and turn it off.
Trudy!
He has no clue.
Jason Rant Show, keep podcast download, help. Trudy, help. Phone. Rant's voice comes out phone, help. Stop voice. He whines too much. People need to read this story, read the policy, share the policy. Send it to friends and family members. Maybe they work in the attorney general's office or for a state agency. Because there are rumors right now that this is going to the DOH. And the way that they're answering some of my questions makes me think that they're playing some semantics games. make sure you read this policy and post it everywhere. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the story to read, to share, to post online, to email to friends and family. This is important. If you don't want this to spread, you have to raise a stink now. It's also available at ktth.com. Don't forget, you can watch all of my Fox News segments at youtube.com/JasonRants, youtube.com/JasonRants. I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight, later today. Hopefully, you will get to tune in. If you don't, I will also be on Fox News at night, later this evening. Topics, I don't know. Although on Tucker, I'm breaking a story that's local. I haven't even talked about it here at this point. I'll talk about it on Monday.
You're holding out on us?
I'm holding out for
the Tucker Carlson show.
Yeah, for the millions of people who watch that versus the
billions who listen. Every single day?
Yeah, I thought I would give crumbs to the much smaller audience. So I'll be on with Tucker later today. Mark Stein is filling in for Tucker. So I hope you'll be able to tune into that. But again, I'll be on with Fox News at night as well. That's all going to be Seattle stories. Just real quick before we move on, did I not kill it yesterday on primetime?
Yes, Jason.
We can be honest.
You did very well.
It was very good. I did a comedy bit.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't break a smile once.
And you had a great piece of artwork in it. Like, it had everything. It had the visual. It had the audio that you needed. It had the laughs. It had, you know, the tears of joy. It had everything.
Yeah, Jason. I got a lot of emails afterwards asking me if they could purchase the artwork that I created. And I think they were all being serious.
Oh, good.
You can watch that again on youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
So as I said on this show, when these stories started to come out, the people who were responsible for throwing debris onto the freeway from the overpass at I-90 and I-5 were homeless. We knew that that was going to happen based solely on the location that the debris was being thrown. So law enforcement identify two of the encampments that they believe are responsible for this, and they're starting to sweep them up. Yesterday was the first sweep, the one at I-90 near Rainier Avenue. They identified two people who lived at that homeless camp responsible, they allege, for throwing the debris onto the streets. They made those arrests, and now they realize, yeah, we actually have to clean this up. State Patrol Sergeant Darren Wright told Como TV that removing this encampment is going to help us all.
We're trying to reduce the proximity of the people to the injuries that we're seeing from the collisions and the rock throwing incidents.
So of the 15 people who lived at this encampment that was swept yesterday, any guesses as to how many accepted the city's offer of shelter?
Surely it was 15, right?
That's okay. We don't have to go crazy. That's unreasonable to expect 100% compliance or acceptance.
Okay,
come on.
That's fair.
Be reasonable.
12.
No.
Okay. 9?
Nope.
Not 9 out of 15, no.
No.
Well, lower, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
6?
No.
5?
No.
3?
Mm-mm.
2?
Go one more.
1?
One person. Some of the folks who lived in this encampment have been there for years. These are not people who will accept help. And so the answer from folks in the city of Seattle, or, oh, let them stay, whatever. When they're ready, they'll come asking for help. You can't force this kind of thing. Dudes have been living there for years. They're not ever going to be ready. Eric, for example, has lived there for 4 years. 4 years. And, of course, he hates the sweeps.
They're all here, you know. It's just all they did was move us from one place to another. They would rather put rocks there instead of just give us some place to live. That's the problem, you know, that there are people who are willing to spend so much money to be cruel instead of spending less money to be helpful.
He just said that they're not offering him a place to live. I just said all of them have been offered shelter. So where's the disconnect? Where's the disconnect? And when someone like Eric says that, I feel like it's on Como or Cairo or King or Q32, whatever it is, to immediately point out that's not true. What he just said is a lie. We know that that is a lie. So he is either dealing with an underlying issue causing him to not realize what's truly going on, reality, or he's lying. Either way, it's not okay to simply say, well, he doesn't want to move, so we're not going to force this. It's inhumane. I mean, clearly you can hear it in his voice. He is someone who tomorrow could get a job if he wanted. Uh-huh. He needs help. And no one's helping him. Jerome, who goes, you gave me a name that he goes by. Skate Tip? Teep?
I thought it was just Skate P.
Skate P?
Skate P. They didn't say it in
There's
the package.
There's no like skater P. It's just Skate P.
Skate P. Spell it out too for the listener.
SK, the number 8, T, dash P.
Yeah.
Okay. What if the dash is a letter that they took out?
Like, oh.
Skate Tip, Skate Top. Something like that.
It's like a placeholder?
Maybe. Maybe it's like a choose your own adventure. Choose your own letter. You put whatever in there. I'm going to put a Z because Z's are cool. He says he's not going back to a shelter.
They told us, you go to a shelter. And I was like, well, I went to the shelter. I got bit up by bed bugs, so I don't want to go back over there. I'm going to find another spot, really, you know, and stay positive, really. That's all you can really do.
Now, I don't doubt that there have been some shelters that had bed bugs. There's no doubt about that. And I do think that that's something that we need to address. However, not all of them have bed bugs. And you're still better off indoors than you are living outside for years. Sorry, Jerome. Excuse me. Skate tibzvz. Because I put a Z. It's hard to. I didn't think of it. Z needs to go at the end or the beginning, I guess, but it can't go in the middle.
Put a vowel there.
One woman just refused to leave. And according to one of the troopers there, they said, okay, we're going to give you the night. You promised that you're going to leave tomorrow, so we expect that you're going to leave. Yeah, uh-huh. Don't know if she left yet. Why is this happening? Why isn't this getting better? Well, you've got people like Roger Millar in charge. He's a secretary of the Washington State Department of Transportation. He didn't want even to get in the business of doing any of these sweeps.
We're eager to do that. But what we're not going to do is inhumanely move people around in our right of way absent a solution to the problem.
There is a solution. It's just one you don't like. I don't care if you like it. Don't care. Roger Millar, I care about whether or not you are capable of making it so that cars and trucks and bicycles too and pedestrians can get around. That's all I care about. Less so about the bicyclists and the pedestrians, because, I mean, we are talking about highways, but sometimes, you know, you got some places that are shared space. Stop this nonsense. It's never going to end. It is never going to end. When we have ideologues like that, did you know that there is a bill that was passed? There was a bill that was passed last year that gave him money to clean up these encampments, to remove them, and then put up fencing to ensure that they don't come back. Did you know that? You know what he's been doing with the money? Maid service. He's been cleaning up some of the trash, but not actually moving any of these people. That was his position. And he's unmoving. He's unmoved. He's not moving that from that position. It is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. And it's only going to get worse unless people step up and demand that he do his job. We already know that transportation projects in this state are just awful. Do one thing well. Help these people. We good to go in there?
Yeah, we're doing fine.
Okay.
Just fine.
I thought a button was pushed by accident.
Yeah, maybe once or twice too many times, but that's okay.
You okay, man?
I mean, I think it's okay. Is it okay with you? You're the boss. Am I fired?
Does my tone seem like I'm okay?
Sounds like I'm being fired in the commercial word.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you don't even want us to go to traffic, because if we go to traffic, I could get in your ear and say you're fired.
Yeah, if I just keep us on air, I can't get canned, right?
Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. I get my interest peaked when there are stories about anti-Semitism, regionally, nationally, internationally. I think most of you know, as a Jew, I would probably be interested in that. A lot of my interest is not necessarily in that there is bigotry that we need to stamp out versus there's bigotry that folks ignore on the left. Anti-Semitism, we talked about it yesterday, is ignored on the left for the most part. Mostly because a big part of their progressive wing are the ones perpetuating the anti-Semitism. And so when I saw a press release on this topic, sort of, it's adjacent, I grew especially curious. Because the mayor of Burien, his name is Jimmy Mata, he said he was the victim of a white supremacist attack. And I thought, wow, because I had heard some stories in the past of him getting assaulted. And this concerned me. And then I read the next part of the press release that went out that said, mayor warns defamatory charges using Nazi lightning bolts. And he claims it threatens voter rights, minorities, and LGBTQ communities. Didn't mention Jews, by the way. He is not being truthful. Or I should say it this way. What he's telling you is not truthful. He may believe that he is the victim of a white supremacy hate crime. Or if you read his press release, an assault. Even though it's not physical, and he acknowledges that. He is now asking for a federal investigation into, quote, attacks with overtones of racial hatred and the deliberate use of Nazi SS lightning bolts, which send a chilling message into the Latino, gay, lesbian, and trans communities. Apparently not the Jewish community, the use of the Nazi SS lightning bolts. Apparently not the Jewish community, but everybody else. Okay. So here's what happened. There are a few lawn signs, like political lawn signs, that went up in Burien because he and others are either running for re-election or are running to be on the council. He's running for re-election, Mayor Mata. And on this lawn sign, it shows an image of a raised fist and the names of two candidates and two current officials. Two are Latino. Jimmy Mata, for example, is Latino. And two are white women, one who happens to be Jewish as well. Now, on top of that, it says, Seattle politics are bad for Burien. And next to the names include singular lightning bolts. Now, there's another one, another sign. It's his own, Jimmy Mata's. But someone put a sticker on top of it that says corrupt. At least on two of them. I think a few, it's some person, presumably, who does not like Jimmy Mata, who believes him to be corrupt. But there's no symbol, there's no any additional messaging. It's just a sticker that says corrupt. Jimmy Mata said this to Cairo 7 last night.
The only thing I connect that to is white supremacy. Is it because we're bringing Donald Trump's tactics back of they send their worst, their rapists, their thieves to America? I mean, are we having some of that? Is that what that means?
No, it's not. However, what he just said means is that he is desperate to tie into the anti-Trump animus so that he can get reelected by seeming to be a victim of bigotry. But his statement there is not even the worst thing. In his press release, and I don't know, Peyton, if you read the full press release when I sent it to you today, did you catch one of the quotes that he put in there?
I think it slipped past me.
Well, let me read it just in case.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Quote, this act is a direct assault on every man, woman, and child in Burien, King County, and our nation. If we accept hate crimes against the other, quote unquote, then we are all at risk one day, as the great Lutheran pastor Martin Neumuller wrote in his famous quote, then they came for me. About the dark days during Hitler's reign in Germany. So he went all in. He went all in, comparing himself now to Jews who were victimized in Nazi Germany. There is a problem with his interpretation of this. There's not an SS lightning bolt on this flyer. You see, an SS lightning bolt is very distinct. I'm going to lean into my Judaism and knowledge of the Holocaust and how Nazis used propaganda and symbols for all of the hate and crimes against humanity that they used. An SS bolt are two thick but short lightning bolts that are side by side that almost look like SS. Okay? The lightning bolts here not only don't come in pairs, there are actually four of them, and they're individually pointed to the names. They're not thick, they're long, and they're pointy. Why does that matter? It matters because this is not a symbol of white supremacy. Do you know what the fist stands for? Any ideas? Because we talk about this all the time. The fist symbolism, in this case, is very specifically related to solidarity with communism. At the top, where it says, we don't want Seattle politics, Burien, Seattle politics are bad for Burien. What do you think they might mean there when you've got that language plus a fist symbolizing support of communism? What do you think it means? What do you think they don't want in their city? Communism or socialism or fringe politics, which is what they're saying in this flyer, in this lawn sign. And yet they are all pretending, the people who are on this list are pretending that they're the victims of white supremacy. Hugo Garcia is running for council. He also spoke to Cairo 7 TV because his name is on this same list. I guess we're going to pretend it has nothing to do with the fact that he is also pretty far to the left, like everybody else on this sign.
And there's still folks here that maybe do not appreciate that.
Appreciate what? Oh, that you're Latino. Sarah Moore, who's Jewish and should know better about this kind of symbolism, said this.
I felt really disturbed. They looked like it looked like hate symbolism.
Except it wasn't. It wasn't a hate symbol. I found the actual art from which this came. I found the source of the artwork in this sign. I can tell you that it came from a graphic designer based in Indonesia. And he's got a whole bunch of this artwork available right now on Shutterstock. It's there. The person who made this flyer took it. You know what one of the keywords under this photo and under this piece of art said? You want to know what one of the keywords was?
Of course I do.
Communist. Nothing about white supremacy. Not going to get white supremacy symbols on Shutterstock. He is pretending. I don't believe he thinks he was the victim here. I think he sees an opportunity. He's mad that he's getting called out. That part makes sense to me. I would be mad too. But I don't believe he thinks truly that this is an SS symbol. He will tell you that. But I've shown you the SS symbol and the actual lightning bolts. Is there any resemblance beyond the fact that they are lightning bolts?
There is no resemblance.
Not even a little bit. Are the lightning bolts in the flyer close to each other?
No, they're kind of like spread out.
Completely spread out. There are two stars at the top. Do those stars appear in the graphic from Shutterstock?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Does the fist?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. When I did a comparison right next to each other of the two lightning bolts, did they match exactly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy Mata is going to be on the show at 4:30. We're doing a special deep dive edition of the Big Local. And I already recorded it. We recorded this a little bit earlier because of my schedule today. And I expected to do about 8 minutes or so. We went much longer than that. I don't think you're going to want to miss that interview at 4:30. That's all I will say. You generally know the way I approach these stories. You also generally know that I tend to get passionate when people lie, in my view, in my opinion, about these kinds of victimizations. I believe it. I don't think he did it. I think he is playing the victim card here in the most disgusting way. You're going to compare yourself to Jews in Nazi Germany? Really? Pathetic man. We're going to get into that at 4:30. Do not miss that interview. Trust me on that. It's the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Some news in the world of sports. The NFL has decided to allow for people to play without getting vaccinated as a mandate. However, they've made it so that if you are not vaccinated and you end up getting COVID, you will cost your team millions of dollars and they'll suffer as far as their stats are concerned, their record. We're getting close to the 2021 season, and the NFL told the teams that we're not extending the season to accommodate any of these outbreaks that might happen thanks to the unvaccinated players. So if someone were to cause the outbreak because they didn't get vaccinated, you either reschedule the game during the season or you forfeit the game, which of course hurts your standings. And in what's clearly a move to effectively force someone into a vaccination without actually mandating it, the league put out guidance that, according to Yahoo News, says that players on both teams will not be paid for the loss contest. So if you're not able to reschedule that game, the players don't get paid for those games. On top of that, the team responsible for the canceled game due to an unvaccinated player, well, guess what? You have to cover the financial losses and be subject to potential discipline from the commissioner's office. Now, if you happen to catch COVID while vaccinated, you're a breakthrough case. The league will seek to minimize the burden on the opposing club or clubs. So it seems pretty clear what they're trying to do here. And a lot of folks are not happy. We had a player who ended up deleting a tweet. His name is DeAndre Hopkins. He is with, let me figure this out.
You can do this.
Okay. The Lakers.
No.
Okay, I don't know.
The Arizona Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
In our division.
Yeah. St. Louis.
No, Arizona. You're thinking baseball.
Yeah. He tweeted, "Never thought I would say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." He ends up deleting it. Then you've got folks like Rick Dennison, who was the offensive line coach and run game coordinator for the, I know coaches.
Yes, you do.
If I know anything in the NFL, it's coaches.
Yep. Yeah, that's your specialty.
The Blue Jays.
No, the Minnesota Vikings.
It was a bird.
The Vikings?
Yeah, Viking is a little pigeon.
Oh, I learned something today.
I think. He's out. He refused to get the vaccine. And so he's out. He can't coach. Did they technically fire him or did they push him out?
I think they pushed him out.
Okay. More than 78% of the NFL players have already received at least one shot of the vaccine. 78%. Every single team has at least a 50% vaccination rate. 14% of the teams have a vaccination rate of at least 85%. So if you have a small group of players who, for whatever their reasons are, choose not to get the vaccine, you're going to punish them? Then what is the point of the vaccine and herd immunity? Seriously, what's the point of herd immunity? If you're on a team that has 85% vaccination rate, what exactly is the threat? Do the vaccines not work? Because that's the message that they end up sending unintentionally. There was a medical expert, Dr. Ashish Jha. He's the dean of Brown Public School. He was on MSNBC today. And I want you to listen to this clip and listen to, in the same breath, this guy say two things diametrically opposed to each other.
The NFL is asking for accountability. People want freedom to choose whether they get vaccinated. I believe in that.
People want freedom to be able to choose to get vaccinated or not. I believe in that. Okay? Listen to the rest.
But if you're going to have freedom, you also need accountability. And if you're the one unvaccinated player who then gets infected and then infects and causes breakthrough infections in a lot of other vaccinated players, that's going to be a real problem. And this is the kind of thing we need to see from businesses around the country. Personally, I prefer if NFL just mandated that everybody needs to be vaccinated. But if not, this is a good second step.
He just said he would prefer it be vaccinated as vaccination by mandate. You just said at the beginning that the opposite.
I love everyone having their own choice, but it should be mandated.
But it should be mandated. I support people having the right to choose. Except I don't. It's unbelievable. These are athletes. They are in peak condition. The healthier you are, the better equipped you are to fight off COVID if you were to get it. Again, it's so weird how folks on the left went from my body, my choice, screaming it, my body, my choice, to saying, no, it's your body, it's our choice, and we're choosing for you. It's so weird how the shift just sort of happened. And part of it is because these folks want you to know that they're heroes for saving lives. They don't actually care that other people are getting vaccinated. They care that you think the reason why they want you vaccinated is to save your life. They're heroes. They're morally superior. You're all a bunch of rubes. What happened to the whole, it's Donald Trump supporters who are not getting vaccinated? The 50-year-old white dude who lives in Yakima or Tri-Cities. What happened to that talking point? Or did the NFL, woke NFL, suddenly turn into hardcore Trump supporters? It's just remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. And it makes it very easy when you show such inconsistency. Makes it really, really easy to call you out. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation. Don't forget, I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight. If you want to watch that, you can go to youtube.com/JasonRants. I'll also be on Fox News at night this evening at 9 o'clock. And then on Monday morning at 8 a.m., I'll be on with the Faulkner Focus. I'm just a rising voice that everyone
Jason,
can't
just
get
so
enough of.
You're so amazing, and we love seeing you on TV
so
and three
good.
Hours of radio. It's just fantastic.
Jason Rants Show.